This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:18. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila, and there has been a call for the Attorney General's Chambers to draw clear guidelines for lawyers to make representations to reduce or drop charges against accused persons.
So this sort of comes from a few things that have converged into one particular story or call, right? According to the former Malaysian Bar President, Salim Bashir, the prosecution would only gain the confidence of the public if it was transparent and accountable. And he did point out that while the AGC may have internal guidelines or policies, because lawyers and members of the public don't know, that they're often left unclear about in what circumstances representation was allowed or rejected. And he added that the Attorney General, who's also the public prosecutor, must be accountable as he filed charges on behalf of the public against accused persons.
So just briefly, this was brought up as a response to claims made by a whistleblower against former AG Tommy Thomas, who claimed that there had been a high profile person, right, who had been arrested for trafficking a very large quantity of drugs, but the charges had been dropped. So I think there were just these questions there. Let us know what you think. In the meantime, joining us now is constitutional lawyer Nizam Bashir. Nizam, welcome to the show. So lawyers are calling for the AG's chambers to drop guidelines for the process of reducing or dropping charges against accused persons. What prompted this call?
Well, I think generally it would be two reasons. Number one, I think there's always been this desire for more transparency as to how the prosecutor exercises his discretion in that regard. And the context for all the suggestions perhaps was, it came amidst this allegations in EDC Siasat that the Attorney General has classified a particular case, as being no further action. And this happens from time to time, but I suppose, the more prominent the subject or the accused is concerned, the more I think the calls for transparency becomes more strident. So that's the context for the present discussions and calls for guidelines for reduction or dropping of charges.
Do you think these guidelines are needed?
I think we should subscribe to the principle that the rule of law must be promoted whenever and wherever possible. Yeah, in England in particular, prosecutorial guidelines, they are not something that's hidden from the sight of the public. There's a code for Crown prosecutors. There's a manual of guidance. You can't say the same, unfortunately, in Malaysia. Yeah, so that is why these calls are there, essentially for more transparency where that is concerned.
Now, why is this sort of transparency important, particularly when it comes to cases of public interest?
Well, transparency and guidelines means clear, consistent decisions on whether someone is or is not prosecuted. Yeah, of course, this doesn't mean that just because there's no published guidelines or there's no sort of no transparency where that is concerned. This does not mean that the prosecutor does not take into account the strength of evidence, cooperation of the accused, public interest, and mitigating circumstances. Where physical or mental limitation is there in the accused. I mean, the prosecutor may take those things into account as a matter of course. But what you want is to ensure that these are matters that the prosecutor consistently has got to take into account.
And currently, what is the process in court when charges are reduced or dropped?
When charges are reduced or dropped, the court will generally order that the accused be discharged, although that discharge may not amount to an acquittal as such. So it doesn't mean just because a charge is reduced or dropped, well, particularly when it's dropped, and the court only orders that the accused be discharged, but not amounting to acquittal, it doesn't mean that the accused cannot be hauled up again to be charged. It can happen.
Now, lawyers that are pushing for this have said the AGC may have internal guidelines on it, but it's not accessible to lawyers and to the public. What do we know about this, and what's the rationale in keeping it confidential?
Well, there may be guidelines, but certainly it's not published for the benefit of the public. I mean, we are as much in the dark as, any person that's on the street. And of course, if it is published, then you can hold the prosecution to account for their decisions in, I think, a more, clear fashion, that these are things that, they must I mean, i.e. a particular decision, you know, was either correct or wrong. Yeah. So in that sense, if they're transparent about it, it benefits the public. And I think from the prosecution's perspective, the reason why they do not publish guidelines, it may be a bit easier for them to make, you know, a decision either to prosecute or to drop a prosecution or to reduce a particular charge. So it's more in terms of flexibility rather than anything else.
So getting back to the proposed guidelines, what could these look like and what should they include?
I think it's just all of that means, if something is transparent, if there are guidelines, it just means that there are clear, consistent decisions as to whether someone is or not prosecuted. And not only that, even in terms of the range of range of sentence that the prosecution ought to be pushing for, it just means that there's more consistency when that is concerned. It doesn't matter, you know, where that person hails from in terms of their station in life or whatever it is. It just means ultimately, you know, if these are the facts, it will mean that this is going to be, you know, the decision, or this is going to be what the prosecution is pushing for.
So there have been a few suggestions. Lawyer Samantha Chong, for instance, has suggested that the AGC emulate the Crown Prosecution Service in the UK, which involves clear and specific guidelines prosecuting drug offences. How might that help?
Well, in the England, you know, the prosecutorial guidelines are contained in, you know, two places generally. There's a code for Crown prosecutors. There's a manual of guidance for Crown prosecutors as well. If we are looking to sort of fashion something local, something for the prosecution to ensure that their guidelines are consistent, I mean, all we have to do is just look at the manual for guidance and quote for current prosecutors for inspiration.
I did want to touch on something that lawyer Najib Zakaria has suggested, which is that the AGC invite lawyers to make oral arguments on why charges should be reviewed. What do you make of that idea?
I'm a little uncertain as to what is meant, you know, by his proposal for there to be oral arguments, because it also begs the question, for example, as to who is supposed to make decisions on the oral arguments. And potentially this may even delay criminal matters further. And I think there is quite a tremendous backlog where that is concerned. So we may not be something that we may want to look at. I'm not aware, frankly, of any other jurisdiction where there are oral arguments when charges are, you know, proposed to either be dropped or being reduced. I'm quite happy to be corrected on that score. But for the time being, based on what I know, I'm not inclined to consider that's such a sensible suggestion, with the greatest of respect to Najib Zakaria.
So former Malaysian Bar President Salim Bashir said that the federal constitution gave the AG absolute discretion to amend, withdraw or maintain any charge. What's the reason for this?
There's a whole body of case law that actually affirms that principle. And the entire case law revolves around the construction and interpretation of Article 145, Sub 3 of the Federal Constitution. The present jurisprudence says that Article 145, Sub 3 gives the Attorney General unfettered discretion to prosecute, discontinue or withdraw criminal proceedings. Now, the question is of course, whether that principle remains current and whether once a matter is already in court, it may very well be there's actually no discretion to withdraw. I can think of one particular decision across our shores where the Singapore courts have held that when the matter is in court, it is the court that decides whether one can withdraw a particular charge or otherwise.
And are there mechanisms in place to ensure that no abuse of power happens within that system?
Well, there's been a few attempts to review that body of case law that I was talking about earlier. So far, it's not been successful. So because of that, I can't say there is truly an appropriate mechanism in place where that is concerned. But of course, we accept the fact that there's always the revisionary powers of the courts to review decisions taken by courts, but certainly not decisions taken by prosecutions and prosecutors. You know, when it comes to prosecution, discontinuance, or withdrawal of criminal proceedings. So in the case of in the case that's prompting the present discussion, I don't know whether there's any justification for the present remarks against Tommy Thomas. Tommy Thomas, of course, is a very reputable civil lawyer, and I'm sure that reputation was gained through diligence and intelligence. But whatever the case, I always take the position that absolute discretion generally is not a good thing. And there may be some gray areas which may cause the federal court to reconsider that body of case law where Article 145, sub 3 is concerned. So let's see, you know, when these sort of cases come to the federal court in future, let's hope that, you know, there's a genuine desire to ensure that the rule of law is promoted.
Nizam, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was constitutional lawyer Nizam Bashir weighing in on the call for the Attorney General's Chambers to draw up guidelines for the process for reducing or dropping charges against accused persons. You can send us your thoughts. That number to call is 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be back for your messages, not just about the story, but about the basically everything that we have talked about today. But we'll also return to sum up the major headlines of this week. All that will be coming up after the 7:30 news, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.